On Friday, August 29th, facing locked doors, security walls, and sealed borders, the Coalition Against the Deportation of Palestinian Refugees and supporters from Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights and the No One is Illegal campaign organized a delegation visit to the Riding Office of Immigration Minister Denis Coderre in Montreal North. The delegation went to demand a meeting with the immigration minister regarding the situation of the over 100 Palestinian refugees facing deportation from Canada in the coming days, weeks, and months. The Coalition Against the Deportation of Palestinian Refugees has been requesting a meeting with the immigration minister regarding the situation of the 100 Palestinian refugees since February 2003. The delegation was organized in the context of this growing political campaign in Montreal to fight against the deportation of Palestinian refugees, which is quickly gaining popular support while operating within the context of a growing movement of immigrant and refugee communities who are fighting back against the countless injustices perpetuated against them by the Canadian state. I spoke with Leila Momar, a Palestinian activist involved with the campaign to stop the deportation of Palestinian refugees.
My name is Leila Momar, and I work with Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights, amongst other organizations as well. Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights is just one of 110 different organizations that make up the Coalition Against the Deportation of Palestinian Refugees, in that they have endorsed the two major demands of the campaign, which are an end to all deportations, a stop to the deportations that have already been passed through the hearing process at the IRB, and also regularization of status, the granting of landed immigrant status to all Palestinian refugees in Canada, particularly those in Montreal, which the campaign centers around. There are about 100 Palestinian refugees in Montreal who are facing possible deportation back to Lebanon or to the occupied territories. Both contexts, Lebanon and the occupied territories, are places where Palestinian refugees face incredible persecution. As we know, in the case of the occupied territories, there is a military occupation there by the Israeli occupation forces, where Palestinians are subject to discrimination on the basis of their being Palestinian. They are subject to home demolitions, extrajudicial assassinations, which are illegal under the Hague Convention of 1905. They're also subject to torture, which is pretty much legalized in Israel. Moderate pressure is a tactic that their security forces can use against Palestinians to get information out of them regarding other the activities of other Palestinians, particularly in light of terrorist quote-unquote activities that the Israelis are obsessed with. And basically, the situation in Lebanon that the Palestinians face is one of having no citizenship, no working rights, no rights to own property. In terms of working rights, they're banned from 78 different professions, all of which are the best professions, so that even when they have educational skills that would allow them to work in these professions, which many of them do because they've been educated in either the Soviet Union through the scholarship exchange programs that were set up at the time that the Soviet Union existed, where Palestinians went. And I mean, I met many people when I was working in Lebanon in the refugee camps who had master's degrees in linguistics or PhDs in engineering who were reduced to doing things in the camp for one another. This guy with a PhD in engineering was just fixing drain pipes that were leaking in the wrong direction or whatever, which is an underutilization of his skills. And if he was not Palestinian, if he was Lebanese, he would be allowed to work in that profession. So basically, we're dealing with people who are not just refugees fleeing persecution, but who are, on top of it, stateless, who hold no citizenship in any country and therefore have no rights, because in a system in which rights are predicated on your citizenship to a particular country and people's rights are recognized within the nation-state framework, these Palestinians and others who are in this stateless category fall between the cracks. And the rights that they have as individuals are not respected or recognized. And this is a fundamental flaw, basically, with the system that we live under. That's why groups like No One Is Illegal campaign can take up something like the refugee struggle within the framework of their no borders, no state kind of ideology, trying to push the idea that rights reside within the individual, but within the nation state framework, where rights are residing within citizenship granted in belonging to a particular nation state, we have to fight for the rights of these people to have some kind of citizenship in order to facilitate those rights until a better system can come along to replace it.
How do you feel that the Palestinian refugee situation here in Montreal relates to the larger issue of the right of return for Palestinian refugees around the world? A lot of these refugees are coming from Lebanon, where they have lived in camps since the 1948 war, since the 1967 war?
It's an interesting question. And for a lot of people, fighting for the rights of refugees here in Montreal and keeping in mind the Palestinian right of return in general can be something of a paradox. But in essence, it's not. It's a very simple equation that allows us to defend the rights of Palestinian refugees to return and the rights of Palestinian refugees to choose to take up residence in another country to have some sense of security and safety. Basically, it comes down to each individual has the right to determine their own destiny. And if an individual Palestinian refugee chooses to stay within the camps, that's their right to take that hardship and suffering, which many do, in large part because they fear losing their refugee status and therefore reneging on their right of return, which is the way that it's set up in the world system as we have it right now, which is unfortunate. However, many Palestinians are choosing to leave the refugee camps because of the enormous hardship that they're suffering in that situation. It's an individual choice, and that doesn't mean that they're giving up their right of return to Palestine. It doesn't mean they're reneging on their right to compensation or to return to their homes at a later date should there be a political settlement, but it's a recognition, it's a pragmatic recognition of the reality that they've been in these camps now for 55 years, that no solution has come forth, and that in the interim, the way that they've been living is extremely difficult and not worth suffering through anymore because we don't know when this problem is going to have a solution. And in the meantime, we can't expect people to suffer for another 55 years in the most miserable of circumstances where their ability to like provide for their own means of survival is seriously impeded. So basically, it comes down to each individual has the right to determine their own destiny, and that doesn't mean that they're giving up on their right of return per se, but that that right of return can be exercised at some point in the future, but that right now they are choosing a life of greater security and safety in a country that should take them up. And what's really disturbing about the way that these refugees are being treated in Canada is that they're being consigned to the same state of limbo that they fled. Basically, they're being left in this legal limbo where they are not legal anymore in this country once they are refused by the Immigration Refugee Board and once a right of appeal is refused. And there is no real appeal mechanism that's been set up since in the last year. The way that appeal has happened within the IRB has changed completely and is now a matter for the federal courts to decide. And very few people who apply for an appeal are granted that right of appeal, pretty much 1-3% of people who make that application to have their case reviewed are granted the right of review. And after that, it's not clear that they'll even be allowed to be given residency here after that entire process. So what's happening then is that they're no longer legal in this country. They're supposed to be deported. However, nobody's coming to snatch them and physically deport them yet. There is a fear that that may happen someday, but it's unclear where these Palestinians will be deported to. It's not clear that Lebanon will accept them back into the country. And it's not clear that if they're sent to the occupied territories, whether they'll have to go through Israel, whether they'll end up in Israeli jails, whether Israel will refuse them altogether. So basically, they're consigned to this legal limbo in Canada, where they have, again, the same situation that they fled in Lebanon, which is no working rights, no citizenship rights, no right to own property. And it's a great state of insecurity. It's an unbelievable state of insecurity to be in that position. And I think, like, you know, for people like people who are born in Canada or in other countries where they are secure in their citizenship, it's a very difficult thing to try and understand and wrap our heads around, because we can't really understand what it means not to have any recognized, legitimate, authoritative identity granted by any country in the world, that basically you are a non-citizen, a non-person under the eyes of international law and national laws. And that generates a deep amount of insecurity. And it's amazing to look at the faces of these people who are affected and see what that insecurity does, to see it written on their faces, to see them struggling and continuing to struggle and not being defeated in spite of the enormous hardship they are experiencing as a result of a really callous, national governmental system and international governmental system that refuses to recognize their worth residing in them as human beings who have innate and inalienable rights that are not attached to any national or international entity.
Can you speak a little bit about the self-organizing that the Palestinian refugees have been doing? You've mentioned that they are fighting back against their deportations. How are they doing this? What does it look like on the ground?
It's really rather amazing watching. I have the privilege of going to the weekly meetings every Sunday. There's a meeting which the refugees attend, and some support organizations and individuals who support them attend as well. And basically, they are crafting their own political campaign. They're learning about how the governmental system works in Canada in ways that most Canadians themselves might not be aware of. They're becoming very familiar with these institutional structures, and they're trying to basically lobby government and also raise awareness within the public in order to have their plight known to the public, gain allies in their struggle, which is a very human struggle, for just a basic opportunity to pursue life the same way that people pursue it here. So this has consisted basically of phone, fax, and email campaigns that are directed towards Minister Kodera's office in Ottawa and in Montreal North. They've also organized delegations to the minister's office at Montreal North. We just had one this Friday. Unfortunately, we were not even allowed in the building. It's amazing what they've done at the Montreal North office. They've not only have now one door that you need to be buzzed through, which, as I understand, previously there was no lock on this door prior, but this lock came in a year later. And then now after this first door, you have to be buzzed through a second security door. And there's basically a glass security partition wall where you are made to feel like a criminal for trying to visit your local MP and bring your concerns to them as a citizen of this country or as a person who is a non-citizen who is affected by the policies of the minister in his capacity as immigration minister. And besides the delegation and the phone, fax, email campaigns, there's been presentations to different organizations, both locally and nationally. And just getting the word out there and raising awareness and getting support from these organizations in their campaign for getting status here in Canada. And it's been really inspiring to watch people become politically active, become politically involved in a context where they have no rights that are recognized under the law, and yet they're asserting those rights as human beings apart from that system, challenging that system to recognize their humanity and to become more humane in the process.
You have been listening to an interview with Leila Momar, a Palestinian activist in Montreal involved with the campaign to stop the deportation of Palestinian refugees. I also interviewed Ihab Youssef, a Palestinian refugee facing deportation, about a recent delegation of Palestinian refugees to the Riding Office of Immigration Minister Denny Koder, which was demanding a meeting with the minister regarding the fate of over 100 Palestinian refugees in Montreal who are facing deportation.
My name is Ihab Al-Haj Youssef. I'm a Palestinian. I came from Palestine, from refugee camp there. Today we came to Denis Koder's office, trying to meet him and trying to handle him the message that we are trying to give him since like more than 7 months. We have been trying since 8 months, maybe 7 months or more, to have a meeting with him, but he was like avoiding us and with no avail. So we decided today to make a visit for him and to meet with him and to discuss that issue with him. But unfortunately, he's not here, and also none of his assistants accept to meet us. We came and we were surprised by the glass of wall that we saw. We were forbidden from entering the office. It's against democracy, I think, undemocratic. What I can say, it's we tried to explain to the his assistants our like case, and he was shaking his head with no results. Then they called the police for us, and they tried like to get us out of his office, but we stayed. Our demand was very clear: to have a meeting at least with one of his assistants. Today we were surprised when they said that Mr. Denis Koder went to Lebanon. Some people say that it's official visit, and some they say it's not official visit, and some they don't know even if he already in Lebanon or not.
Why do you think he went to Lebanon?
Well, for me, I'm not sure yet, but maybe trying to explore maybe the Palestinian refugee camps. Maybe he want to see by his eyes the situation over there. So I don't know. I'm not sure, but.
Why did you go on this delegation today? I mean, why have you gotten to the point where you have to organize amongst yourself to send people to demand a meeting? Why do you feel that the Immigration Department is ignoring the situation of the 100 Palestinian refugees?
Well, first, let me say that there have been a lot of discriminations against the Palestinians, and they were refused for, let's say, idiot reasons. Like it's not reasonable, and there is discrimination against the Palestinians, and also we feel that the judges that they serving in the IRB board, they are biased people and ignorant too, because they don't know anything about the Palestinian issues. Unfortunately, they are the people they are who are handling our cases. So we decided to organize ourselves so we can say to the immigration that there is something wrong happening in your system. Stop it, please, because, you know, like Palestinians, refugees, they have special case, special situation. We all know the situations of Palestinians inside the occupied territories in Lebanon. I don't have to explain it again and again and again and again, because we all know that. So, and the immigration, they know that fact, but they're still avoiding us and still like ignoring this issue. So, we decided to organize ourselves and to talk to people in order to mobilize them and gain their support for us.
You're a Palestinian refugee from Gaza. What would you face if you return?
I will face, it's a dark future. I mean, the thing that I will face is, the first thing is persecution, and then I might be like killed, because can you guarantee for me if I went back to Palestine, to refugee camp, I will be safe? I don't think so. Like, every day there is a death among the Palestinians. Like, you know, checkpoints going after the youth, and there is also on the other hand, there is the Palestinian militants who try to recruit people and stuff like that. Also, like, what I'm saying is going to Palestine is not safe anymore. It's not safe because of the war there. There is a war there. And if there is a war, I think that Immigration Canada, they should take that in their consideration. Even the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, they issued a travel advisory for the Canadians not to go to Palestine, not to go to Lebanon. Why is that? Because they know that there's a dangerous situation over there.
Can you describe how you feel about the way that the immigration system has treated Palestinian refugees here in Canada? Do you feel that there's been discrimination against Palestinians? Is there a systematic discrimination against Arab and Muslim communities in Canada today?
Well, let me tell you something. Like, first, give me an example. Like, I know two brothers. They have the same case. The same case. They were living together, everything together, and one has been accepted and the other has been refused. One has been accepted and he will stay in Canada, and the other one, he will be deported. I mean, why is that? How could that happen? How could that happen? If there is no discrimination, that wouldn't happen in the first place. So I think after 9/11, I think there was a lot of feelings against Muslims, against Arabs, and of course Palestinians, they say, oh, you came from Palestine, oh, you came from Lebanon, you might be from militant group, you might be a danger to Canada, so we have to refuse you. Some judges, they are very supportive to Israel, and they are standing beside Israel, so they just go and refuse Palestinians. I will give you an example. For me, I had my first session and a hearing, and the judge, when I was telling her that the Israeli army went into houses, went to our houses, they didn't knock over your door, they just came through the wall, and from wall to wall, they steal money, they destroy all the furniture in the name of looking for weapons. She told me, well, you know, the Israeli army, they have to secure the Israelis' people, and they are looking for terrorists. You know, this is what her answer for me, like, can we have more discrimination than that? She's a bias, and she gave me like an answer like that. I think there is something wrong. I'm not saying something. There is a big hole in the migration system, and they have to fix it because it's not fair. It's not justice. That's it.
Why do you feel it's important for people to support you in your fight to remain here in Canada and not be deported back to the Palestinian refugee camps in Palestine and also in Lebanon?
I believe in the justice, and I believe that people, they want justice. And if I can gain a justice for me, that means they can gain a justice for themselves too. It's a very simple thing. There is something wrong. Help us to fix it. Then if it got fixed, then your problems will be fixed too. I mean, will be solved too. And then any other refugees in the future who will come, they won't face the same thing, the same suffer that we faced here in Canada and in Montreal here. This is about justice, you know.
That was an interview with Ihab Youssef, a Palestinian refugee facing deportation from Canada. I spoke with him at the recent delegation of Palestinian refugees and their supporters to the riding office of Immigration Minister Denis Coderre in Montreal North. The campaign to stop the deportation of Palestinian refugees continues at full force. Montreal's Palestinian refugees continue to self-organize against the efforts of Citizenship and Immigration Canada to deport them to life under the illegal and deadly Israeli military occupation of Palestine, or to a life of poverty and persecution that defines existence in the Palestinian refugee camps of Lebanon. Palestinian refugees in Lebanon are forbidden from owning property, working in over 78 professions, receiving proper health care, and moving and traveling freely. They do not hold Lebanese citizenship, and the majority are stateless, holding citizenship to no country. I spoke with Mohammed, a Palestinian refugee living in Bosho Barajni refugee camp near Beirut, Lebanon, about the daily situation facing Palestinian refugees in the camps of Lebanon and his take on the pending deportation of 100 Palestinian refugees from Canada back to the persecution which defines much of daily life in the Palestinian camps. This interview was translated by Rabia Masri, a Palestinian activist from Montreal.
For Palestinian refugees currently living in the Palestinian refugee camps in Lebanon, so generally, what is daily life for Palestinian refugees living in these camps?
The conditions of the refugee camps in Lebanon in general, and more specifically also Burj al Barajni in our case, is worse and worse by the day. The conditions are horrifying. We are not allowed to work. Even being a garbage man, we cannot become garbage men in this country. When you even get the chance to get out of the refugee camp, if a policeman stops you with his and asks you for your ID card and sees that you're a Palestinian, then you better wish yourself good luck. We don't have any basic civil rights whatsoever in this country. Even Hariri, the minister here, the prime minister of Lebanon, has put over 70 professions that Palestinians cannot work in. Even Suklin, which picks up the garbage, cannot hire Palestinians. The camps in the refugee camps in the south of Lebanon are even worse. The camps are sieged from all around. 70% of the guys in the camps are looked for by the officials and different authorities, Lebanese or other. Maybe the only good thing that exists for us in terms of the refugee camps in Beirut is that we have not yet been sieged the way the camps in the south have been. But I think it's just a question of time for our refugee camps to be sieged the same way.
Can we now talk about the situation in the camps as it relates to the political negotiations that are going on right now in terms of the roadmap? There's a proposed solution to the conflict between Palestine and Israel. And one of the main points that is being pushed forward by the roadmap is potentially the Palestinian Authority giving up the right of return to the hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees around the world, including those living in the camps in Lebanon. So maybe can we get your perspective on the right of return within the context of the roadmap?
With regards to our homeland, Palestine, it is important to note that we are the 1948 Palestinian refugees that left our homeland back during Al-Nakba, during the creation of the State of Israel. We continue to dream to go back to our homeland, as we always have. We are the refugees that see their grandparents with the keys of their homes, who continue to talk about their houses and land back in Palestine and continue to have physical evidence of it. With regards to the roadmap, all we hear is news on TV that is worse and worse every day. The news is only about what is happening in the land of 1967, that is the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. There is nothing really being discussed with regards to us, the 1948 refugees, the millions that live across the neighboring Arab countries and the horrible conditions in the refugee camps. Even the word that they use, right of return, in practicality is not even being really taken seriously or discussed. Your country, Canada, as a superpower, you hope for an answer to such questions. How can you even ask for such an answer and speak in the name of millions, while in your own country you have over 100 Palestinian refugees who you are deporting right now as we speak? So how can you talk about the conditions of millions of refugees when you cannot even face the conditions of 100 Palestinian refugees? This is all a game that has been played on our backs and has always been played on our backs for the past 55 years. It is a game being played by leaders and politicians that are only worried about their positions and their seats. As a refugee, as a Palestinian refugee who's 28 years old, I can only hope that today will end quickly as will after tomorrow. Obviously, we are the people who continue to suffer daily as our leadership, as nothing happens to our own leadership that speak in our names. Like myself and children like Muhammad al-Durra, that nobody cares about, we continue being slaughtered daily like animals, and nobody really talks about it. Many situations around the world, like the situation in Iraq, seem to be solved in weeks, or if not months, or a few years. Our situation has been for over 56 years. So how can we really talk about these things, which we only find in papers and in speeches, and can never feel or see in reality?
Maybe now can we expand on the perspective of Palestinian refugees who have not left Burj al Barajni, who have not left the camps in Lebanon, to give their view as to the efforts of the Canadian government to deport these 100 refugees, the majority of them living here in Montreal, the relatives, the friends, and the family of the refugees still living in these conditions and in these camps in Lebanon.
In terms of the Palestinian refugees that are in Canada, the ones that we just spoke of, the 100 that Canada cannot even seriously deal with, while Canada hopes for an answer with regards to millions of refugees. Obviously, it hurts us to know the conditions that they're in. These Palestinian refugees have fled the refugee camps here due to the harsh conditions here and the fact that they have no rights. We hear that Canada is a humanitarian country, a country that respects human rights, but it doesn't seem like it when you hear of the news of the Palestinian refugees living there. We also have heard of the procedures there in terms of how it's all just a question of chance. It all depends on whether some judge likes how you look or not, and doesn't really depend on the reality that you face. We do not hope for anybody, and especially our own brothers and sisters, our people, to go back there and spend this long going through these hardships for over 5 years while they're still young and still can build their lives, and then be sent back to the conditions of the camps where they will have nothing, absolutely nothing to hope for, no work and no rights. All they can do here is come and smoke an argile, a shisha with me and the others. Yes, we do hear of social organizations in the camps that do get funding and provide some services. You can even come and take pictures of these organizations. But in reality, most of these guys just wake up in the morning, like I do, walk outside the camp, put an argili and sit down and just wait, not knowing for what. If you in Canada do not stand in solidarity with these Palestinian refugees, believe me, these guys will be fed up of life, as most of us are.
Can you talk about some of the political organization that is happening within these camps? How are people attempting to fight this reality that exists within the camps? Are there any social structures which are being developed amongst the communities there to improve these conditions? Or, in a sense, are people just waiting and waiting on a daily basis for the right to return to their homeland? Or are people trying in any way possible to rebuild a life?
With regards to the organizations in the camp, of course, we're not people that just sit down and pray that things will get better. We realize that we do have to work hard in order to get our rights and improve our conditions. One of the most important things that we see through these organizations is the education of young kids that learn of their country, their homeland, Palestine, its history, their own history and culture. There's also many other projects, including artistic courses, cultural events, cultural projects, Debke groups, the Palestinian traditional dance, and other type of projects that people try to participate in order to continue not only learning their culture or expressing themselves artistically, but at improving their personal conditions. But however, obviously the funding for these organizations and what these organizations are capable of is very limited. What the organizations probably can help 1% of the refugees here. There are some organizations that do help families, and there again, like out of each family, maybe there's one person or one child that can benefit from this organization due to the lack of funding. And sometimes families have to give priority to individuals within the family who need the help in order to give it to them. And obviously we have our wonderful hospitals here where you're not even given the chance to enter the door of the hospital unless you have thousands of dollars in your pocket. So these are the type of conditions that you find. And unfortunately, you have organizations who have money, however, try to take care of their own corrupt leaders of certain organizations that try to take care of their own friends and family. This is maybe something that you can even see probably in Canada, in your country, where we hear that many Arab and Muslim organizations do not get the funding or support that is given to many non-Arab, be it Christian or Muslim Arab organizations, given to non-Arab organizations that have much more funding and much more projects and services to give to their own community. So these are the types of conditions that we live through here in terms of the work of organizations.
One of the things that people here have heard about that is happening in the camps is there's many youth who are fleeing these conditions, fleeing often to Eastern Europe. Perhaps can you describe this practice, this situation of people fleeing the camps on a daily basis? And how do you feel that that illustrates kind of the desperation that people are feeling, you know, in their daily lives at the camps also?
من جمال الحياة هون بالمخيم بتلاقي الشباب بتشتت زي الجاز.
Given the life conditions in the refugee camps, young men are fleeing the camps like fleas, looking towards countries such as Germany and Europe, where they're hoping, they're dreaming to get a decent life, getting some of the human rights that they hear of sometimes. As you might have heard in Canada, there were over 30 guys that tried to reach Germany by going through Russia and the Ukraine. These 30 guys were all caught and put in prison, living on only water and bread for over 30 days, and then had to come back here to the refugee camps. One of these guys who left overweight came back skinnier than myself. People here are selling their own homes, their furnitures, in order to be able to send their family away to flee these conditions and to go through the humiliations of crossing borders and trying to seek refuge elsewhere. And then they come back here after selling all what they own with one hand behind their back and one in front of it. With regards to the news that we hear of the people who are fleeing the camps and returning and going over through these terrible, humiliating events, we still do refuse any form of settlement in Lebanon in terms of denying the Palestinian refugees their right to return back to their homeland. We prefer leaving here, leaving Lebanon, than having to give up our right of return. The smallest things that happen to us here, like what happened just now as I'm speaking to you, the electricity just got cut off. We get it only for maybe 2 hours a day. While we continue to see the beautiful scenery around the refugee camps of the rest of the town being lighted and everybody else getting electricity. Going back to the topic, obviously the conditions that families are facing, having to flee in such ways from the refugee camps, crossing borders and just trying to seek refuge elsewhere, is destroying families. Destroying entire families who are being separated from one another, who are losing everything they own just in order to try to leave these camps looking for a life of their own, a more decent life.
You've been listening to an interview with Mohammed, a Palestinian refugee living in Bosha Borashni refugee camp near Beirut, Lebanon, about the daily situation facing Palestinian refugees in the camps of Lebanon and his take on the pending deportation of 100 Palestinian refugees from Canada. The interview was translated by Rabia Masri, a Palestinian activist from Montreal. The campaign to stop the deportation of Palestinian refugees continues at full force. Montreal's Palestinian refugees continue to self-organize against the efforts of Citizenship and Immigration Canada to deport them to the poverty and persecution that defines daily existence in the Palestinian refugee camps of Lebanon, and to life under the illegal and deadly Israeli military occupation of Palestine. This report has been produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stéphane Christophe.